Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. Manhattan Theater Club was founded in 1970 and has grown in four decades from a prolific off-off-Broadway showcase into one of the country's most acclaimed theater organizations. They are currently producing a production of Liz Flahive's new play, The Madrid. The production is directed by two-time Obie Award winner Lee Silverman and is running through May 5th. Edie Falco stars as Martha, a kindergarten teacher with a life many would want, a loving husband, and a devoted daughter. But when she leaves it all behind, it's up to her daughter, Sarah, to pick up the pieces. It's a darkly funny play, certain to evoke a cavalcade of feelings from anyone lucky enough to attend. The daughter, Sarah, is played by Phoebe Stroll. Phoebe was last seen in the New York City premiere of The Big Meal at Playwrights Horizons. Other theater credits include the original cast of Spring Awakening, The Metal Children at Vineyard, and F2M at New York Stage and Film. She's also appeared in film and on television, and she joined me for an interview in Manhattan a couple of weeks ago. Phoebe Stroll, welcome to The Roundtable.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. How did you discover you wanted to be an actor?
I was in high school, and I made some really great friends who are still my best friends in all the world, and they loved being in the theater, and I was really shy and reticent about it, but I wanted to hang out with them, and I ended up really loving it and really finding that it was something I could do well.
So you did theater in high school?
I did, yes.
And then where did you go to college to study?
I went to NYU undergrad, Tisch drama.
From there to Broadway, what are the steps?
From there to Broadway. Well, in college I was lucky enough to have agents. So I was able to do a couple of TV guest spots while I was in school, which was nice. And then after college I worked as a children's ballet teacher, even though I am not a ballerina at all. But it was so fun. It was a whole couple years of twirling around with little tiny nuggets and pink tutus and telling them stories. And then I got this new off-Broadway musical called Spring Awakening at the Atlantic, and that was it. Yeah, it was fantastic.
What was working on that show like, especially when it started to get so much attention, even outside of the immediate New York area?
I think we were all surprised. I mean, not totally shocked. I had the feeling when I was cast in the off-Broadway production, there had already been a workshop, many workshops that I wasn't involved in. And I remember being there on the first day and listening to the music being played as we read through the show. And, you know, the people who had been in the workshop were singing along. And I just remember feeling like, even for being so young, I remember thinking that this is really special. And so I think we just felt really lucky that other people felt the same way. That's how I felt.
How long did you stay with the show?
I stayed with it. I left the Broadway production in July of 2008, along with the remaining five original cast members. We all sort of Thelma and Louise'd off the cliff together. Because two of them were going, Remy and Lily, were going to college. And then Brian and Skylar and I decided to leave with them in sort of a solidarity.
So the principal actors had left prior to that. What does it feel like when that happens? What happens with a show when cast members, whether principals or not, but they leave and then new people come in? Is it a new jolt of energy or is it weird?
Yeah, I think it's both. And I think that's the reason why we all sort of wanted to leave together. The show was changing, not in a bad way, but it felt a little like a breakup, you know, when you feel like you have this really special thing and someone wants to move on or go do something greater because they had this springboard to go do other things. And it wasn't weird so much as it just felt like the real specialness was starting to fade for us. That's not to say that the show wasn't still good or impactful, but I think we felt so close and felt so connected and had gone through a lot together, because for most of us it was our first anything, really. Uh-huh. And so we felt like a family. And so I think that when new people came in, it was a new jolt for sure, and it was great. But we missed the memories.
You mentioned doing some TV guest spots before, and you have been in some films and on television. How is acting for the camera different than acting on the stage?
Oh, wow. It's a totally different technique. And something I was not good at first. I didn't take TV or film acting class in college. My first TV gig was on Rescue Me. And I was just terrified. And I kept, I was the reason, I'm very much of the mindset of, I just jump in and pretend like I know what I'm doing and hope no one figures out that I don't, which I think is true for a lot of this business. You just have to go into it with all of your, you feel naked. You feel like you're jumping in the water naked.
Well, sure. And so many people have been doing everything for so long that they would just potentially roll their eyes if you were like, is that that's a camera and that's a camera? What am I doing here?
Yeah. So I'm on the set with and doing a scene with Dennis Leary, and he was so patient. Everyone was so patient and nice. But I just remember being so embarrassed. I kept having to cut because I couldn't hit my mark. I could not stand on the mark. I didn't understand yet how tiny the margin is for just moving your head, your body. And I couldn't figure out how to find the mark without looking at it. It's really, people who can act well on TV, it's tricky. And I hope I'm good at it now.
How do you get better through just doing it more?
I think so. I mean, people who, you can take classes, but it's just doing it. It's just doing it and showing up and getting scared and then pushing through that scared.
The matter at hand, the reason I get to speak with you today is because you're doing a play called The Madrid. Tell us about the story of that show.
The Madrid is about, it's about a family in crisis, really. I think it's centrally about this woman, played by Edie Falco, who feels like she's left the family, and I play her daughter. And she's left the family when she feels like I'm at a time where I'm going to go out and see the world for myself and maybe have a freedom in my life that she maybe didn't feel like she had. But the opposite happens. I stay home. I try to take on all the responsibility that she left, and I think that scares her. And she comes to see me, and we start to try to get to know each other in this new time in our lives.
How did you learn about the project, and what was the audition process like?
Yeah, I had an appointment, and as you tend to do.
And you don't just show up and be like, I'm here to audition for this play.
No, not usually. No. But you can. I admire people who can do that. They got guts. I read the script, and I thought, this is really special. And I have had the really great fortune of getting cast in really great plays around the same time that pilot season happens. And I remember thinking, this year, I'm going to do pilots. I'm just going to... Because it feels like going to war a little bit. You do a lot of pilots, you try to get one. And I thought, this year I'm going to really devote myself to pilots. And then I read...
And of course you mean television pilots?
Yes, television pilots. And I read this play and I thought, I can't not go in for this. It's really special. It's really funny. It's really moving. And I did. And I went in for the first audition, and Edie was in the room. And Lee, the director, and Liz Fleihy, the playwright, and the casting director, and I remember leaving the room and thinking, that was really good. Darn it. That felt really good. It felt really right. And I got called back, and then I got it. And I was really thrilled. And I was lucky that my agents were thrilled for me, too.
What is it about the script by Liz Fleihy that works, that is so appealing?
I love the way that Liz writes. For women, especially having a story about a mother and daughter that's not, it's emotional, but it's not sentimental, it's not, you know, histrionic. It's just, she writes humor in a way that I think is very modern and quick. And, I mean, Nurse Jackie's a fantastic show that she writes for, and there's a reason for that. She writes very, very subtly and darkly funny things that I felt like I could really relate to.
You're darkly funny.
I hope so.
What type of director, what's the style of direction you're getting from Lee Silverman?
Oh, horrible. She's horrible. No, just kidding. Lee and Liz have a history, and they worked on Liz's first play together from up here. It was at MTC as well. And Lee is she's extremely smart, and she's extremely compassionate and empathetic, and I think that she knows how to direct a moment in a way that is, she's not just, I don't know how to describe it fully. It's like she can, as a director should, but she always has her eye on the big picture, and she's able to direct so subtly and to help get you to an emotional place that's so subtle and yet deep, so that the big picture is taken care of. It's not always about me, I guess to say. It is, she helps you keep in mind the big picture of the play, which I appreciate.
Not to get too nuts and bolts on the process, but what is the, when you were in rehearsal, what was that schedule like?
Oh, it's pretty typical, 10 to 6, Tuesday through Sunday. sometimes you have 20-minute break, sometimes you have an hour break for lunch. It's just like going to work, which is weird when you don't do things. As an actor, you have such a crazy schedule, just sort of off. I do voiceover stuff, so I'm sort of usually running around, or I might not have things to do during the day, and then all of a sudden you're doing 10 to 6, 6 days a week, so you have to sort of retrain your body and mind to get into a work schedule. But I love it. I love having the routine. I love using my brain in that way continuously, and yeah.
What voiceover work do you do?
I do a lot of radio ads, and I've been doing a lot of work for the visually impaired people. Not the visually impaired people, for visually impaired people. For television shows for preteens that come on the weekends. You know, there's an option for closed captions, and there's also an option for audio captions, I guess, in a way. Like someone will be listening to the show, and then they'll hear my voice sort of interjecting and describing what's going on a little bit. Like for Jack Hanna's Wild Animal Safari, I'll say something like, Jack has a monkey on his shoulder in his shack. Wow. And you have to say it in a, you know, certain way that's really descriptive, but still that you know that you're not in it. And I have also done my favorite thing that I've done recently is some science books for kids. That was Sally Ride's company. She has science books for kids. And it was really cool to see, as I was reading them, what kids are learning now that, you know, I didn't learn when I was a kid, or these awesome pictures of Mars that they get to see now. That was cool.
Narrating an animal special sounds awesome. Like the enormous alligator is eating all the other animals.
Yes, that's pretty much it. But you have to do it in such a precise way that it's, once you get the technique down, though, it's fun.
Because it couldn't go over what other people were saying, like the dialogue part of the show.
Sometimes it does a little bit, and you have to be like, I'm in the show, but I'm not. It's sort of like being the documentarian narrator that's sort of quiet but still emotional, and yeah, it's fun.
I saw you in a New York Stage and Film production at Powerhouse at Vassar College, which is always the longest title of any theater thing to name, but we're used to it and they're wonderful. Yeah. What was doing that show like?
Oh, I loved my summer there. I had the best time.
I don't think I said the name of the show. F2M was the name of the show.
Yes, F2M. It was a really special play. Great cast, great director, great playwright. I loved my time there so much. Joanna, who runs the program, I usually when a play is over, I can wrap it up well emotionally, you know, and move on. But I stayed for a week after to do a reading of a musical, and the entire cast left. And my first day of the reading, I went in the next day, and the director, Jeremy Dobrish, he's so sweet. He was like, "So how was F2M?" And I just burst into tears, and, like, ran from the room. Just like, is this crazy girl? I had no idea. I was just so emotional. I loved being in a place where it was about the work and connecting to people and just hanging out. We just hung out. It was great. And you weren't worrying about getting home on the subway and the critiques and, you know. So it was, really special.
Well, and the Vassar campus is made of castles.
It is made of castles. It was magical. And there was a Jamaican food stand that would come to the farmer's market 3 days a week, and you would get this huge thing of jerk chicken for like $5. It was just the best. And everyone goes to the one bar and hangs out, and it's just really fun.
Phoebe, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today, and have a wonderful continued run with the Madrid.
Thank you very much. It was so nice to talk to you.
Phoebe Stroll plays Sarah in The Madrid by Liz Flahive, directed by Lee Silverman and produced by Manhattan Theater Club. The show runs at the New York City Center on West 55th Street in New York through May 5th. To learn more, visit ManhattanTheaterClub.com or TheMadridPlay.com. Thank you. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.